The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yes, indeed it is, and hour number two is now away at 9 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Friday that is normally free for all, but is pretty heavy today, in fact, with guests. Thanks again to Bob Gibbs, Ohio's 7th Congressional District Representative, talking about the articles of impeachment he introduced against Joe Biden this week. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to talk with former Ohio State Representative Christina Hagan, as we do each and every Friday. And now, here at the top of hour number two, Bernie Moreno returns to the program. Bernie Moreno is a U.S. Senate candidate. He, of course, is among a crowded field of seven or eight now. I think I lost track once Dolan joined. In the race to replace outgoing Senator Rob Portman. Bernie Moreno, good to talk to you again. How are you, sir?
Great, Bob. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I got wind yesterday of something that I didn't know about, which is why I just got wind of it yesterday. You tried to buy the Cleveland Indians. And I was amazed by that, and I was so happy about that, and I'm so frustrated that it didn't work, because what a noble gesture and a noble idea you did. I'll let you kind of lay it out for the people listening right now. Why did you try to buy the Cleveland Indians, Bernie Moreno?
Well, first of all, this team means a lot to this community. I've been here 16 and a half years. I've been a season ticket holder and a sponsor of the Indians since I got here. The idea that we caved or allowed the team owners to cave to a tiny little group of white, unhappy liberals to change a name that honors Native Americans is just a, if there's not a better example of caving to cancel culture than that, I don't know what is. So my idea was twofold. Number one, keep the name. Second, we staple the team to Northeast Ohio. And we had some really creative ideas around how to do that. And it was a serious offer. I had some great investor group that was behind me to make this happen. But unfortunately, we weren't able to make a deal.
Again, I want to underscore the word noble. It's a great, great thing that you tried to do, because you're right. And it's a bigger picture than just team loyalty and loyalty to the name and our recognition that it is not racist in its nature in any way, shape, or form. Whether or not the caricature of Chief Wahoo is, you know, politically correct enough is a debate for one thing, but just to have the Cleveland Indians name be removed is another. And I'm glad you fought for that. But beyond that, what you just said, we cannot continue to cave in to, you know, the outrage mob, the offended mob, the microaggression mob. Every time somebody says or does something that, you know, the smallest number of leftists doesn't like, it's got to go, whether it be a statue, whether it be a name on a school, or in this case, the name of a baseball franchise. And at some point, we've got to fight back against that that cancel culture. And that's what you were trying to do. And I don't know what it's going to take. Do you?
Well, I think we have to just draw a line in the sand and say no more. Because what's happened is over the last 20, 30, 40 years, really since Reagan, right? If you notice, there's no accident that Biden always references 40 years ago, because that's the beginning of the Reagan revolution. Mm-hmm. Since Reagan left office, as conservatives, we just haven't fought, Bob. We've talked a lot, but we haven't actually fought. Lockdowns is another good example. You know, last year, in March of last year, I was adamantly against lockdowns from the very beginning, very public against it. There was a petition I got started to take me off the Metro Health Board of Directors. I got thrown off the Community Foundation Board. I got death threats on my house. I got my home address and pictures of my house published in Scene Magazine. And as I like to say, I have the greatest security system in the world, the Second Amendment. So I wasn't worried about it. But it's an example where they try to bully us. And honestly, for the most part, they usually win. And we can't do that. I mean, none of my Republican opponents spoke out last year against lockdowns, only this year. And it just shows you they were able to be silent last year when they weren't running for office. So when it's not benefiting us personally, we have to fight back against this mob, because I promise you, Bob, it will never, ever, ever end. They will go after everything in our lives. These are dramatically unhappy people, and they won't stop until they take all the joy out of society.
We're talking with Senate candidate Bernie Moreno, who is obviously an extraordinarily successful businessman and entrepreneur. According to the story, you offered them $1 billion, then, and you were rejected. Were you rejected over price? I was just looking, because we're talking this morning, I looked up the 2021 Major League Baseball franchise values. The New York Yankees are by far and away the most valuable franchise, followed by the Dodgers. The Indians are 6th from the bottom. And according to the report, the Indians are worth $1,160 million, which, if I'm doing it right, means about $1.16 billion. So was it a matter of price, or would they have turned you down no matter what your offer was on principle because they wanted to keep the team?
No, I think the issue was I think they wanted to stay in control of the team, and obviously control the team means not changing the name. So I think that was really the main issue, because if they stayed in control and I could come in and buy it out over a period of time, the name would be the Guardians, and that was a red line for me. So it was either 100% or nothing, and that was really what was the deal killer, not so much the price. I think at the end of the day, and I don't want to sound flippant, Bob, at all, but if you're talking about $1 billion or $1.1 billion, you're not talking about a great range of dispute there in terms of pricing. It really came down to they stay on for at least 5 to 7 years. The name is the Guardians, and I just couldn't live with that. There's no way I would be involved in a team where we made that public a statement around bowing to this woke mob. We can't do it.
Last question on this, Bernie Moreno. Now they are going to be the Guardians. You can't control it, and so the question is will you keep those season tickets?
I will not.
So that's strong. That's strong. That's being consistent in your principle here, because I was going to say, if people are truly opposed to the cancel culture and truly opposed to these, political correct, things that are being done to us, we have to make a stand. And the only way you do that is to strike at their, at their wallets. And if you buy season tickets again, then you basically have signed off on and approved of Guardians. So I'm glad to hear your consistency there.
Well, you're either one of two types of people. You're all talk, or you're all action. You can't be one or the other, right? So I see a lot of politicians, especially in this race, they love to talk about things, they love to write about things. But when you look at their background, they haven't done anything that remotely resembles the big talk that they use, and that's just not me, Bob.
Real quick hypothetical. Just because these are the way these kinds of goofy things work out sometimes. The Indians have one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball. What happens if the Guardians win the division next year and end up in the playoffs or the ALCS or, God willing, even all the way going to the World Series again? Are you trying to get a seat back then?
Nope.
Wow. All right. I, you know what, man? I, I think there's a lot of people who would say, I'm going to cave at that point. Like, I boycotted the NFL last year for all of their wokeness and all of their tributes to Marxism by allowing Black Lives Matter and so on and so forth on the field. I'm done with the NFL. But when the Browns played the Steelers in the playoffs, my interest was piqued. I turned it on. I didn't buy a ticket, but I turned it on television. So if you can stay away, if they make a World Series run just on the principle, man, then you are a better man than many, because I don't know a lot of people.
I haven't been to an NBA game in 2 years. I used to go to almost every single Cavs game. I just won't do it. I was in China with the Cavs. I actually flew to China with them. That's how much of a sponsor and season ticket holder I was. And it opened my eyes to the idea that what's happening is these big corporations, professional sports, so much of our media and big tech, they're in bed with the Chinese government, and they bemoan the most social virtue signaling thing here in America, embarrass us on the world stage, and then turn a blind eye to the atrocities that happen in China. I won't be part of that, Bob. And I think it's up to all of us. You know, when I owned a Buick dealership in Beechwood, GM had closed. You may not even know this story. GM had closed the factory in Michigan. Had come out with a new hot SUV called the Envision. They made it in China, and then shipped that car back to the U.S. So people who were coming into that dealership thought they were buying an American-made car. I refused to let General Motors ship me any of those cars. They threatened to take my franchise away. They said I could never be a GM dealer in any other brand. I said, you know what? It cost me millions of dollars. I didn't care. Because you either stand on principle or you stand on nothing. And that's what all of us have to do. It's the only way we get our country back.
I did know that, and I think it's from you in a previous interview, maybe a thumbnail sketch version of that story, and I salute that as well. Now, since you said you went to China with the NBA and with the Cavs, you're used to going to places where horrific conditions apply, which leads to your trip, rather, to the southern border on Monday. It's a place with horrific conditions. It is a place where the rule of law apparently has been cast aside. Tell me where you're going on Monday and what your intention is.
So I'm going to Del Rio to see this invasion firsthand. I am absolutely appalled by our political leaders, by the way, not just Democrats. I don't vote for them, but for Republicans, who sit in Washington, D.C., as I speak to you right now, figuring out how to spend more trillions of our taxpayer dollars while we are invaded in our southern border by people we don't know who they are. We don't know their intentions. We certainly don't know their health status. And I guess the government's not concerned about them. They're concerned about fifth and sixth graders' health status, but not concerned about them. There's no lottery being put in place in the state of Ohio to see if we can get them vaccinated. But we turn a blind eye, and yet we're letting that crisis unfold. So I want to see that firsthand. I want to understand what we can do, what I can do as a U.S. senator. For me, that's priority number one. Bob, this is very, very personal to me. My family came here legally. It took me 13 years to become a U.S. citizen. I worked my butt off to study the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence. I took this oath seriously to be a U.S. citizen. And when I see our elected officials turning a blind eye, it absolutely infuriates me. And I want to go there and see that in person.
You know, it's interesting. Bernie Moreno, U.S. Senate candidate for Rob Portman's seat that is being vacated. When you say turns a blind eye to it, it indicates that they're just not that interested in it. And that's why they kind of turn away from it. I think that's being too charitable. I think they are absolutely looking at it very closely. They're not turning a blind eye. They are closely monitoring it and loving it. This is intentional. This isn't just neglect. We're neglecting the border. I think this is exactly what they want to have happen. They want hundreds of thousands of people per year coming across that border and then demanding amnesty and voting rights, essentially, down the road.
Oh, I agree with you. You're talking about the Democrats. What I was talking about is the Republicans. I think both of them are at fault. You know what's interesting, Bob, is the Kamala Harris, the borders are, right? Jen Psaki, the administration, hasn't said really a word, and the media, by the way, so dishonest, hasn't even bothered to ask them about the border other than Peter Tusi. And the one time that they get very invested in the border crisis is this idea of this fake whips story, and now they're banning horses from the border. It just shows you their instincts. Hey, we're being invaded, right? A couple hundred thousand people a month. No problem. But wait, there's this fake story about whips. and we can shit on law enforcement. Sorry to say that. We can crap on law enforcement. Well, that will be interesting. I mean, this is the problem that we have right now with the people who are running this country. It shows you their worst instincts.
You know, it does that. Obviously, those racist horses got to go. That they're a problem here. If we round up people on motorcycles or on ATVs, it's okay. But if you're on horseback, clearly that's racist because horses have reins, and those long reins, of course, can be used to whip people. And I'm of course saying that all tongue in cheek. This is the ridiculousness that they are trying to push on us. The last thing about this, Bernie Moreno, that I will ask you about is if this country is so systemically racist and oppressive of brown and black people, of African Americans and Latino and Latina Americans, why are so many brown and black faces under that bridge waiting to come into this country so that they can be so terribly oppressed by this horrible country of ours?
Because nobody believes that to be true, especially people who don't live here. I can't tell you how many family members I know and friends in South America that would die to come to America, that would love to be U.S. citizens. This is the greatest country on earth. Despite everything the liberal media tells us, despite what Big Tech tells us, people literally are risking their lives to come to this country. And by the way, because as you know, I have family members still in Colombia where I was born, there's another 30,000 Haitian refugees getting ready to pay the drug cartels thousands of dollars to come across our southern border. You got to remember, this is off season. This is not peak migration season. Peak migration season is still 2 or 3 or 4 months away. And if you think what we're seeing now is bad, just wait, which is why, Bob, I hope you join me in calling for all elected officials to insist that the U.S. military go down to the border immediately and seal that border before we get to peak migration season. Otherwise, you're going to see something beyond the pale. And I'm afraid American citizens will not put up with this, and we will see a lot of social disobedience. I don't want that to happen. We need the U.S. military down there sealing this border today.
Yeah, I completely concur. And since we're not going to get that, because the director of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, says, no, the border's already closed. They're not going to do anything else from the federal level. So what I'm begging is for the governors of Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and California to send their national guards down there at the bare minimum and protect the border of their states, in addition to the border, of course, of the country. If the feds won't do it, then the states need to take action, because you're right. Once the peak season comes around, it's going to be something to behold. Bernie Moreno, U.S. Senate candidate, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for sharing the Indian story and your zeal to protect history and also to oppose cancel culture. And thanks so much for what you're going to do on Monday. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. You can have your listeners check BernieMoreno.com. There's a lot of other issues there, so BernieMoreno.com. Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Thank you, Bernie Moreno. It's 10:25. I'm looking at that website right now. I always pull up the websites of the candidates that I interview, and it is a very strong story that Bernie's got to tell. You should check that out at BernieMoreno.com. We'll be right back.
Download the free WHK mobile app and listen to your favorite WHK programs or podcasts on the go. It's free in your app store.
Okay, 10:28. Thanks again to Bernie Moreno. There's so many of these candidates, my goodness. And we're working our way through the best we can, but that was a great story, and I love the consistency there. As I asked him, what if the Indians are great? What if the Indians go to the World Series? Are you going to still avoid them, not buy tickets on the principle that they changed their name to Guardians and refused or basically and bowed to cancel culture? And he said, yeah, I'm not going. And he hasn't gone. He was such a huge sponsor with his businesses of the Cavaliers. He was invited on their China trip. And now he will not even go to a Cavs game because of what the NBA, has become. The woke league it has become. And that is essentially, subservient to their Chinese Communist Party masters. They really are. They've even declared themselves, the NBA, to be a Chinese product. This is a very, very principled stand that Bernie Moreno is taking here, and I respect that. And I'm sure a lot of others in this Senate race, in this primary race, are, you know, the same mindset. But it's good to hear Bernie Moreno give voice to that. Hey, I want to make a note here before the bottom of the hour, and we talked to Christina Hagan after the news. Tomorrow morning, our good friends at McFan, Medina County Friends and Neighbors, Lisa Woods organization, which is just so great. I spoke to them earlier this year. Peter Kersenow is back tomorrow. Peter is fired up over that southern border and a whole lot of other things, including the Afghanistan debacle, and I'm sure he's going to talk about all of it. But Peter Kersenow addresses the Medina County Friends and Neighbors crew tomorrow morning, 8:30. The Thirsty Cowboy in Medina, just off of I-71 at the Route 18 exit. If you've heard Peter before, and if you've heard him on this program, you know that he brings fire every single time he speaks. And he will be the guest speaker tomorrow morning. So by all means, if you are of a mindset of going to Medina County Friends and Neighbors at some point, someday, make tomorrow that day. Hello. Make tomorrow that day. That would be a good move. All right, 10:30, news time now. We'll come back with Christina Hagan on AM 1420, The Answer.
For Relief Factor.
Ohio's first station is now The Answer for Northeast Ohio. We're AM 1420, The Answer. Giving woke America a wake-up call. Courtesy of the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Yes, indeed. 10:35 now. We continue on AM 1420, The Answer. Great conversations already this morning with Ohio Congressman Bob Gibbs, Ohio's 7th Congressional District Representative, introducing articles of impeachment against the bumbling, stumbling, mumbling, creepy, sleepy Joe for all kinds of very good, justifiable reasons, unlike what the Democrats did to Donald Trump. Just talked last segment with Bernie Moreno, U.S. Senate candidate. He's got a lot of very important things going on, including fighting cancel culture and fighting the invasion of the United States. He's going to the border. He's doing something that neither Joe Biden nor Kamala Harris will do. He's going down there to see firsthand what's going on at the southern border. He's doing that on Monday. Speaking of that southern border, why have the Democrats been so reticent to going down there and seeing what's going on themselves? Ted Cruz asked that question on the floor of the Senate yesterday.
In the House of Representatives, Representative Ocasio-Cortez has a famous photo of her grasping her head by the kids in cages. Well, I'm going to give a simple challenge for Representative Ocasio-Cortez and for every Democrat in this body. Go see the Biden cages. With your own eyes. I've seen them, the Donna Tent facility with over 4,000 people, with little boys and little girls on top of each other. Just a couple of weeks ago when I was in the Rio Grande Valley, the rate of COVID positivity in the Biden cages was over 22%. And all the Democrats who talked about this, if they don't go, if they don't denounce the Biden cages, then they're telling you that they're hypocrites.
Ted Cruz laying the Democrats out yesterday on their utter hypocrisy on that southern border and on those cages. Joining us now for reaction to that and more is former Ohio State Representative Christina Hagan, regular Thursday commentator. Christina, good morning. Excuse me, Friday. Where did I get my days mixed up? Friday commentator. Good morning, Christina. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. I am well, in spite of the crisis, the ongoing crisis at the border, the crisis we didn't think could get worse. But let's not fool ourselves. This is ugly. It's despicable. It's disturbing. But to think that this is the worst it could possibly be would be foolish for us as Americans as we've watched what we thought and identified as a crisis in January, February, March, April, early May, now transcending into tens of thousands of people under a bridge threatening the well-being of themselves and Texans and all Americans, and the pageantry, the level of pageantry that's happening in this country. As you mentioned, I think Senator Ted Cruz did an excellent job of laying out the reality of what we're looking at and just the complete and utter hypocrisy of our, I won't even call them anymore, our friends on the left, because it's pretty clear and evident that this is a intentional and complete and utter decision that they have made internally to put on pageantry and intentionally destroy this country from within by allowing complete chaos and lawlessness at our borders. I'm thinking of Ocasio-Cortez in her perfectly white suit at the border fence, pretending to cry, pretending to care, and then to have nothing to say about the horrific and absolutely unconscionable reality of what's happening at our border, not only for the people existing there, not for just our security purposes, but also the humanitarian crisis that has been created by the irresponsibility of this administration. These people are sick. They care nothing about reality. They care everything about creating an illusion. That's why they won't allow for images to be revealed of what's happening at the border. That's why this administration banned drones for a period of time unconstitutionally from covering footage of what was happening at the border. I mean, they were having their fake photo ops all day long when President Trump was in office, kicking butt on protecting Americans and protecting everybody else from these types of crises occurring at the border. And yet they're nowhere to be found. Our own president of the United States is not on record at any point in history visiting the border. This is a serious, not only lack of leadership, but intentional destruction of our country. These people are sick. It's irresponsible. It's disgusting. And the goosebumps that I had when I just heard Senator Cruz talking were legitimate, because our country is in a time of trouble.
Well, it is all of those things. And by the way, speaking of images, you know, he mentioned Representative ADC. I call her ADC. She's Alexandria Damasio-Cortez to me. And she is every bit of that. That photo op wasn't even at the border, and she wasn't standing next to a fence that kept children or migrants. Somebody, if you recall, she had her little photo op there. She had a personal photographer taking pictures of her, wailing and moaning and lamenting the terror and the horrors of what's on the other side of the fence. But somebody was taking pictures from a distance and saw the whole scope. She was standing next to a fence in an empty parking lot. She wasn't even there. She wasn't even at the cages, if you will, or the fences, the detention facilities. So it was every bit a staged situation. She was pretending to cry over air, maybe a couple of cars on the other side of that fence. That lets you know how hypocritical they are, as is the fact, or as does the fact, Christina Hagan, that the czar, the border czar, you know the old phrase everybody uses these days, you had one job. That's all Kamala Harris has been tasked with. Manage the border issue. They wouldn't call it a crisis, but manage the situation at the border. She's never been to the border. Now, she can say, and this is what they did, oh, I went. No, she went to El Paso, and she stayed about 5 miles away from the border, and there is no massive crossing in El Paso sector. The McAllen, the Donna facility, the obviously Del Rio sector, this is where the action is. She won't go. Ted Cruz went on to say in that speech, Christina Hagan, that there's a reason Joe Biden won't go, and there's a reason why Kamala Harris won't go. And the reason why is if they do, the TV cameras will follow them. And when the TV cameras get there, they're going to show the world what's going on down there, and that's why they're hiding it.
Right, and the media largely is in complete compliance with them, that they won't show the horrific reality of what's going on. And as you mentioned, she went where she could be at a great distance from reality and at one of the calmest points of the border, with no intention of exposing the complete crisis that's transpiring down there. And I just think about all of this. I mean, it's also constructed, also composed, also intentional. Their desire is to change the complete social fabric of this country. They want nothing more than to create a voter base for themselves and destroy what exists and paint a new America. A new socialist communist America. And when I think about this imagery, when I think about Ocasio-Cortez's ridiculous imagery, I think about Maxine Waters saying that this is worse than times of slavery and attacking our border agents who are simply outnumbered, overwhelmed, and trying to protect American citizens, the very job that Congress and the President of the United States should be doing themselves. You know, President Biden won't show up. Harris won't show up. Nobody will show up, yet our law enforcement agents, once again, are under attack by these ruthless and destructive politicians who are creating this crisis in which they have to be the only line of defense for American citizenry. And then they're painting them to be racist and attacking them and using it, again, for their political pageantry. It's absolutely disgusting.
Christina Hagen is my guest. She is a former Ohio State representative. We're talking about the border right now. That affects all of us because these thousands and thousands of migrants, and I'm not going to call them asylum seekers. Most of those quote-unquote Haitians who have been under that bridge for the last few days at a peak of 16,000 are not from Haiti, meaning not coming directly from Haiti and thus seeking some sort of asylum. They have already established residency and were living well in South American countries. A ton of their IDs that were discarded. Yeah, their IDs have been found. So they're not, you know, trying to flee any persecution or even any economic calamity. So this is a plan, and they've released them not just into the southern states where they crossed, but they're flying or busing them into all parts of the United States, including here in Northeast Ohio. So it affects us. And what else affects us, Christine Hagen, is what our leadership is doing in Columbus. I want to segue to that. Yesterday, Mike DeWine announced that because of the lagging vaccination rate of Ohioans compared to the rest of the nation, he's ready to go back to his tried and true method of getting more people vaccinated, bribery. He did the Vax-a-Millions, as you recall, a couple of months back, gave away $1 million, gave away a bunch of scholarships. Now he's doubling down on the scholarships with the Vax-to-School program, going to be giving $100,000 scholarships to people between the ages of 12 and above, I guess. I guess it's 12 and above. Oh, here it is. Five vaccinated Ohioans age 25 or younger will be eligible for five $100,000 scholarships, and another 50 will win $10,000 scholarships, $10,000 per winner. Christina Hagen, I cannot understand how this can pass legal muster, given the fact that there are thousands and thousands of Ohioans who are age 25 and under who have had COVID-19, who have antibodies, who have natural immunization or inoculation, if you will, who are not eligible for this program. This is full-on discrimination against people who already have vaccination by way of the previous infection, and they're not getting the shot on top of that because it's not healthy for them, and they're not qualified for this offer.
Yeah, it's discrimination, it's coercion, it's the worst possible form of government. Well, you know what, let me step back. It's not the worst. The worst is forcing this to happen for us to be able to live our lives. Coercion is the second worst form of government. The fact that they're using our taxpayer dollars to promote and incentivize something that, again, has no long-term studies, no long-term understanding. We don't know the implications of this on a long-term scale. We do know that it does not protect people from getting COVID-19. We do know that it does not stop transmission. It does not stop infection. It is not a vaccine by its own definition. It does not inoculate us, as you mentioned, and natural immunity does. So it's like natural immunity has become a bad word that we're not allowed to use, and everyone wants to denounce it, although it is scientifically evident and obvious that that is the best case scenario for any human being, to have natural immunity to something. Yet they want to continue to perpetuate this chaos and coerce young people, young vulnerable people who, mind you, are probably likely in a financial situation that could be questionable. They don't know what their status will be with college, if they'll be able to attend college, if they'll be forced to drop out by December because they're now being forced to take the vaccine. So at some point, young people just say, okay, uncle, I'll take the vaccine because I want to live a normal life. And, oh, by the way, I might also win a unicorn or $100,000. I might, they're applying every pressure point to young people to just get them to submit. And it's dead wrong. I mean, what happened to freedom in this country? What happened to medical autonomy? What happened to minding your own freaking business and respecting the differences of Americans? This is absolutely ludicrous. It makes no sense at all, and it's disturbing governance at best.
So let's talk more about disturbing governance then, because I wanted to start with the governor there, but work my way to your former body, the General Assembly, is filled with, you know, supermajorities. Both sides of the General Assembly are supermajority Republican, and they still can't pass legislation particularly veto-proof legislation that will stop these mandates from happening. Not just the mandate on the COVID-19, but also the coming mandate on a flu vaccine. You know that's next. You know the next thing that is considered by somebody in the Ohio Department of Health to be considered a public emergency, a health emergency. They're going to say, because we've done it before and because precedent has been set, we're going to need everybody to get the shot for this thing, for that thing. So there's real reasonable legislation on the table that has been sponsored and co-sponsored in the Ohio General Assembly, and it goes nowhere because the Republican Party is too spineless and weak to use their supermajorities to do the will of the people.
Yeah, I think I may have brought this up to you before, but I've always deeply admired Margaret Thatcher, and she was quoted as saying, when I leave politics, because people asked her, what are you going to do when you're done with politics? And she said, I'm going to start a very profitable business, and it's going to be called Brenna's Spine. I feel the same way many days of the week, and, you know, commonly concerns are brought to me, and they're asking, why isn't action happening in the state legislature? And the state legislature has a powerful opportunity to lead. They do, as you mentioned, have a supermajority, which I always caution people doesn't necessarily mean great things are going to happen. We had a supermajority under Governor Kasich, and oftentimes we were bowing to him, and policy was being crafted to his taste and his liking, and we know he was purple at best, but more than likely, as a CNN commentator, was actually blue the entire time.
Yeah.
So we always have those who have invaded our party, who call themselves Republicans, but for whatever reason seem to have more of a stake and seat at the table and interested party meetings and behind the scenes than actual conservatives and actual voters do. And that's a disturbing thing about supermajorities. Much like every organization in America that once stood for something, they have been infiltrated by the enemy. And so I think about the supermajority and the concept that we should be able to steamroll in the right direction, positive legislation to protect Ohioans' rights and the personal autonomy and the constitutional ability to live well in this state, in this country. And yet we had people cowering and not taking action. I still hold on to hope that the leaders in these chambers will do the right thing, that there will be some form of legislation that puts the liability in the right places on those who are imposing and trying to force and mandate these vaccines, that there would be some protection for our school children. But it just really seems like it is on the shoulders of parents, individuals. I can't tell you how many people in my immediate network, Bob, have been praying over and preparing for quitting their jobs, for walking away from their livelihood of over 10 to 15 to 20 years that they've done with love and service and compassion for the people that they've been able to pour into with their livelihood, but have been prepared to walk away. I have seen a few blessings of a medical exemption or a religious exemption being accepted, but we at this point in time have zero protection from our state and federal government for our rights to be protected, and it's simply unacceptable. So I just pray that my colleagues, my former colleagues in the legislature, people serving there would wake up and realize that it really doesn't matter what these big associations want from you. It matters that you care well for the people who sent you to serve, who you are responsible to, and that you put laws into place that protect them.
Christina Hagen laying it out for us. Very, very well argued. That's why we love to have you on. Thank you so much for the important information. And a great comparison, by the way. Great story about Margaret Thatcher. You have mentioned that in the past, but I don't mind if I hear it again because it's obviously right on point. Christina, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. God bless, Bob. Thanks.
10:52, our final segment is coming up on AM 1420, The Answer. So I want to wrap the show this morning. Well, first of all, by telling you the show isn't over for me. I've got 3 hours of Dennis Prager starting at noon. Of course, you have Charlie Kirk here live at noon on AM 1420, The Answer. But on the Dennis Prager website, you can listen there. But I'll be hosting for Dennis. And I've got a lot of great stuff for you planned for that program. But I want to share, and I want to wrap this particular show by sharing this. Just such a great point. I give credit where it's due always. I will give attribution to people who have great ideas and great statements. And in this case, it's my wife. My wife was having a discussion on Facebook about the forced vaccinations and about the fact that the CDC, on the CDC's own website, they have a warning for people with autoimmune disorders, saying that people with autoimmune disorders can still get the vaccine, but we can't guarantee you you're going to be safe. That's a strong thing, by the way. That's pretty doggone, that's a lot of chutzpah. Hey, we still recommend you take it if you have an autoimmune disorder, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be safe. So she wrote that on Facebook, and she got this response. All vaccinations and medications have side effects for various categories of people. This isn't something new. Just listen to the commercials where they spout off possible symptoms that at times sound worse than the original issue. Okay, fair point. Let's look at those commercials. And this was my wife's response. And I told her, she's, I'm in this business. I'm supposed to think of the right way to say things. And I haven't come up with this yet. And I give her all the credit in the world here. She responded this way. Of course. That's why there should never be a mass mandate of this vaccine, because individual situations may dictate that the vaccine could be more dangerous to someone than the virus. And without the long-term clinical trials that all previously approved vaccines have gone through, they have absolutely no idea. I'm surprised the CDC actually admits this on their website. And if you're comparing it to the commercials, why aren't the commercials that promote this vaccine spouting off the possible side effects? That's the part that just hit me over the head like a frying pan. All of those commercials that you see, all of them, I mean, every, if you watch a lot of television, the two biggest things that you see are car insurance commercials and medical commercials, new drugs. And they tell you for the first 15 seconds about all of the wonderful things this thing does for your psoriasis or for your this condition or that condition. And then 45 seconds of their 60 in their 60-second commercials are telling you about all the bad stuff that could happen to you if you take it. If the voluntary drugs like that tell you all of the potential side effects, how come the mandatory vaccine and all of those commercials, why don't they have to tell you about all the potential side effects? All they do is say, hey, it's safe and effective. Done. What a great point. Thank you to my wife. Thank you to you. We'll see you Monday. Bye.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.